Hosanna, a fellowship of Christians.
We have a call to worship to offer you this morning. We don't normally come up here this early, so in the service. So.
Let us share in this call to worship together. This is drawn from Psalm 81. Come, people of God, come and gather in God's holy presence.
God said, come and listen to my word of truth and follow in my way.
Come, people of God, come and worship the God who saves.
And the God who rescued you, and I will satisfy your needs.
Come, people of God, come and trust in God our provider.
God said, through my generosity, I offer you all you need from my bountiful store of grace and goodness.
Come, people of God, come and rejoice in God, the giver of life.
I would feed you with the finest of wheat,
and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you.
All together.
Thanks be to our holy, saving, generous, living God, who is always ready to listen. Amen. Amen. Let's worship.
So often we close our prayers and we close our services with an amen, you know, which means so be it. I think it's appropriate for us to start right off with a hearty so be it, right? Start things right off with an amen.
To the way you give your love, and to the way you give your joy, and to the way you give your perfect peace.
Everybody sings.
Amen. To the way you show your grace, to the way you set me free, to the way the blood cleanses me.
Everybody.
Amen. that the world could hold. Mountains made of solid gold, riches that could buy my dreams. You are better than all these things.
Take a couple minutes and read through a scripture passage, Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11. It's a little long, not long, but several verses there. But what I would like us to do is just really to settle our minds and our hearts and just listen to it. And there may be a word or a phrase that it makes an impression on you or sticks out to you. something that you identify with. You just hear it and you say, there's something inside you that perks up. So I'm going to read it through. Just listen with your heart and your mind. And then I'll read through it again. But let's listen. Lord, I have chosen you as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more, for your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. For you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. There might have been a word or phrase or a line or a verse there that stuck out to you. I'm going to read it one more time. Tune in again and listen and identify that word or phrase. Lord, I have chosen you alone as my inheritance. You are my prize, my pleasure, and my portion. I leave my destiny and its timing in your hands. Your pleasant path leads me to the pleasant places. I'm overwhelmed by the privileges that come with following you, for you have given me the best. The way you counsel and correct me makes me praise you more, for your whispers in the night give me wisdom, showing me what to do next. Because you are close to me and always available, my confidence will never be shaken, for I experience your wraparound presence every moment. My heart and soul explode with joy, full of glory. Even my body will rest confident and secure. For you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your Holy One to experience corruption. For you bring me a continual revelation of resurrection life, the path to the bliss that brings me face to face with you. For you just to sit and be with that word or phrase right now and even in the coming day or days ahead and see what God and ask God what he wants to reveal to you through that word or phrase. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have
have all this world, give
end this time of singing together, and we want to start this year with a blessing, with a reminder of the blessings that we have in Christ. That He is the source of all good things. He's the source of all blessings. Let's not take our eyes off of Him.
Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Lord, turn His face toward you.
Children and your children.
upon you, be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace.
Yes. Receive the peace of Christ and pass it along, right? Pass the peace of Christ everywhere you go, because there's lack of it right now. Pass it along. He's generous. Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I just want to say, sometimes, you know, when I'm singing and worshiping, I stop singing.
Yeah.
And not to just point her out, but Amy, when Amy signs,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, the signs that go along with the words to the song, yeah, are just beautiful. So thank you, Amy. That worship is amazing, but then when you see the signing that goes along with the words, good to see all of you this morning, and we welcome you to Hosanna. We welcome all of our family and friends online as well. And just so our folks here know, we've been getting feedback that there are a lot of people live streaming with us all across the United States,
yeah.
Which is really amazing. And in Canada. Yes. So that's really awesome.
Sometimes West Africa.
And sometimes West Africa, Tony said. Yeah, pretty amazing, isn't it? That during a pandemic that we can still be connected here online and all across the world. I think that's just so amazing of God. Just a couple announcements for you. The new adult class, The Gift of Being Yourself, begins today at 11:15. It's going to be meeting via Zoom and also in person. So if you want to make your way over there, yay, I know some people that are going to be gone, right, Rayella? Yeah, it's just over here to my left into the fellowship hall. And for those of you who are online and want to subscribe, you can go on Hosanna's webpage and do it there, or contact tony@hosannalytics.org. Also tomorrow night, questions group resumes from 6:30 till 8 o'clock. And the link is posted on the group's Facebook page. And also, if you want to join, again, contact tony@hosannalytics.org. And I just wanted to mention to you about our Change for Change bucket. I can't even tell you how many years ago we decided for the year we were going to have a Change for Change bucket sitting in the back of the auditorium. And we were asking folks if they had loose change in their pockets or whatever, just to drop it in there. And we would bless people throughout the year. And we did that. And then we thought, okay, the year is over. We're going to take the Change for Change bucket away. Oh, no. We heard from so many of you, why are you taking the Change for Change bucket away? We like that back there. I don't know how many years now that we've been doing it, but let me tell you, it has blessed a lot of people. In our Lititz community, in our Hosanna family, Feed My Starving Children, families in the community for Christmas, just to name Bulgaria with the shoe boxes, just to name a few. Well, our Change for Change bucket is still back there. And for the months of January, February, and March, the monies from Change for Change is going to go to benefit the Warwick Compassion Network Energy Fund. What that energy fund does is provide families with oil, gas, and electric throughout the year, but especially during the winter months. And Hosanna is a part of the Warwick Compassion Network. So we are about all this stuff that goes on in our community. So that's what the money is going to go towards for the next 3 months. And with that, I'm going to invite Tony and Joanna to bring us the message.
Thanks, Deb, for all
that good news. Uh-huh. There we go. And thanks, worship team, for just reminding us what is real and what is true. And that last song, actually, I've heard that all year long, that blessing.
Yeah.
But that we needed that this morning, didn't we? That caught my heart.
The fullness of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Going out to the whole world.
It's from Scripture, you know.
Yes.
This is what we offer
yes.
the world. Well, it's been a week, hasn't it?
Yeah.
another hard week after months of hard weeks.
Yeah.
And this one was, for many of us, scary, polarizing, discouraging. Many of us are still there this morning.
Yeah.
And in our attempts to process it, we, the world, the nation, have generated so many words.
Yeah.
Words splattered all over TV, the internet, social media, private conversations. And you can disagree with me on this, but I would say to little good effect, mm-hmm. It seems to me. Most of the time anymore, it feels like we're just talking past each other, or worse, down to each other. We give offense and we take offense. We argue and we excuse. We challenge and we rebut. Everyone is talking. But who is really listening?
Yeah.
Who's trying to understand? Who is bridging the gaps between us? Who is speaking peace to a weary world? Most of the world, it seems, is trapped in tiny little boxes. Little interest in hearing anything outside of their own circle and their own perspectives. And that means, sadly, that they do not also hear our long-suffering God.
Yes.
Precisely when our world needs to hear him most. We're not the first generation to be here, of course. 3,000 years ago or so, a worship leader in the time of King David tried to write a joyful song for the people of God. Another worship song that would soothe their hearts and inspire their spirits, but he was interrupted. He was interrupted by a cry from the heart of God.
Yep.
Asaph heeded that cry, and what he gave us in the end in our Bible is Psalm 81. And that psalm, as we said a little bit earlier today, will help us focus our worship and our words this morning as we continue to seek what God wants for us.
Yeah.
What God wants for the church, capital C, but for our church too.
Yes.
And for our country and the world.
Yeah.
In these painful and confusing days that do not seem to have any near ending. Why this psalm? Of all of them. I don't know if we've ever done a message. I don't know if I've ever done a message on Psalm 81 before. Mm-hmm. Psalm 81 is the central chapter from the central part of the book of Psalms. And its central line, the heart of the message of this psalm,
yeah, right there in the middle,
as well as the entire book of Psalms, is God's heartfelt You'll understand the irony of me not being able to say
tongues.
The words.
It's in tongues. We need an interpretation.
The irony of it is the message is, shut up, Tony. God's heartfelt cry for God's people to stop talking. And to pay attention. And I just illustrated it. That's why. It's this line. Oh, Israel, if you would but listen to me. Hearing with the passion that had to be in God's voice. Oh, Israel, if you would but listen to me. But by the way, this plea would have really caught their ears, for the verse of scripture that they treasured more than any other is actually very similar to it. In fact, it uses the exact same verb here for here. It's from the wilderness days, hundreds of years before that, when they were wandering out in the desert without a home. And it, too, was a cry from the heart of God. It was in Hebrew, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, still said in synagogues all over the world every week. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yes.
Today, this invitation, this call, is known as the Shema for its first word, hear. Listen.
Yeah.
But the Hebrew word means more than just take in sound. It's much more intentional than merely having music or the TV on in the background. It means to pay close attention, to take something in, to comprehend. It's got the kind of emphasis that we mean when we tell someone to, hey, listen up,
yep.
Or listen in. I've been losing my hearing in recent years, and I don't know if you noticed that I have this habit now. I miss some things, and I'm listening in an awful lot. Because I can hear a little bit better. That's what God is saying here. Hear, O Israel, listen up, listen in. This suggests that something important is being communicated.
something we really want or need to hear, or from someone we really want and want to hear it from. Yeah. It tells us to remove all distractions, lean forward, catch every bit of it. Listen, hear me. This was the cry of God's heart for his people when they were in the wilderness. It was the cry of God's heart for his people when they were feeling overwhelmed in the time of Asaph, and they were. Yeah. And this is the cry of God's people, cry of God's heart for his people this week. This week.
Yep.
And every week, when our minds are distracted, when our tongues are wagging, when our spirits grow weary.
Yep.
So we too are going to stop, we even Joanne and I are going to stop talking from time to time in this message.
Yeah.
To follow God's call to listen together to what he may be saying to us in this time of distress. And we will together trust that what God has to say, if we will intentively listen, will be both sobering and satisfying to all of us.
So as we look at Psalm 81, the first invitation that we receive is to listen and worship. So let's listen to the beginning verses of this psalm. Sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. Raise a song, sound the tambourine, the sweet lyre with the harp. Blow the trumpet at the new moon, at the full moon, on our festal day. For it is a statute for Israel, an ordinance of the God of Jacob. Psalm 81 was written to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which was a week-long autumn festival honoring the 40-year journey of the Israelites through the wilderness. In time, the Feast of Tabernacles also became a time of great thanksgiving, because it coincided with the ingathering of the harvest. The word tabernacle means booth. It referred to a small movable shelter, you know, like the tents that the children of Israel carried with them and lived in during their desert years. So during the Feast of Tabernacles, even today, Jews live in temporary shelters that they build. In today, some of them do it, they're not there all 7 days, but they'll eat some meals there. They're in these temporary shelters, and that is in order to celebrate God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness, historically, you know, back thousands of years ago, journeying for 40 years with them through the desert, but also celebrating God's faithfulness from generation to generation to generation, what we just sang about. God's faithful protection and provision and care. When they had no one to look to but him. I mean, they're in a desert. That's it. They didn't have anyone else to look to out there except God. And it's an invitation to us to the same today. Psalm 81, it was recited each day of this feast. One or more, a priest, or maybe more than one priest, would invite the rest of the people to sing and shout and sound instruments to declare the purpose of their gathering, which was to honor the abundant love and care of God and follow the directives that God had given them in the past to worship him. And you know, gathering like this, it wasn't simply to make a lot of human noise. It wasn't simply to say a lot of human words. It was to celebrate the works already done by God and to honor the words already spoken by God. The singing and the music weren't for them, not primarily. See, this worship wasn't about them receiving praise for how well they played their instruments or whether the songs got the people into the mood to worship God. Their shouting wasn't for them either. It wasn't about how well they said things so that, you know, said things that other people needed to hear. No, from the start of the celebration, the people of God are called to take their focus off themselves take their focus off anyone else and direct it to God alone. To become focused, open, ready to hear what God wanted to say to them in that moment. That's why we began our service this morning with a call to worship drawn from Psalm 81, to invite us to focus our attention completely on God, responding to his call to worship by opening our hearts and our minds to him and readying ourselves to hear whatever it is that God wants to say to us in this moment. You know what? The heart and the spirit in this place as we were worshiping, wow, mm-hmm. you're applauding, you're responding. There was something here of that spirit. Let's pause. This is the first place we're going to stop. We're going to pause for a moment and listen and reflect on what we've just heard from Psalm 81. Where's your focus right now? On God? Does God have your full attention? Are you distracted by other things? Are you listening with an open mind and heart for what God would say to you? Is there anything or anyone other than God that has your attention and loyalty in this moment? Again, this isn't about condemnation or coming down hard. This is a reflection prayerfully to listen and notice and listen to what is God wanting to speak to, what is God wanting to show you in these quiet moments? Let's pause. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Second invitation from God in this psalm is to listen and know. This invitation is given first to Asaph, its author, in one fascinating line, the second half of verse 5. And if you're moving too quickly through this psalm, there's a reason I love that Sean did a lectio with us this morning, read it multiple times, because sometimes if we move too quickly, we miss something important. And we might miss this one. He says simply one line, I hear a voice I had not known. Well, the voice that Asaph heard was God's. We find that out later in the psalm, in the next line. But the fact that he doesn't recognize it tells us that Asaph, the worship leader, and by extension, his people had forgotten the voice of God. Mm-hmm. They forgot what he sounded like. They no longer knew that. They were still worshiping, of course. They were still singing their words. They were still sacrificing to him. They were still obeying him, at least to some extent. They were going through the motions, but they had substituted their own voice and the voices of each other for God's. They knew what each other's voices sounded like, but they could no longer recognize what God was saying.
Yeah.
Ever been there? Anyone there now? Mm-hmm. Think about it. In our world, we know the voices of our favorite politicians.
Yeah, we do.
And our least favorite ones. And perhaps our favorite political commentators. And perhaps our favorite sports commentators, because not everything is politics, right? And well, and we know our favorite musicians and actors and friends and family. They call us up. They don't have to tell us who they are. We know their voice. And all that is fine and dandy. Until the point at which those voices drown out the voice of God in our lives so completely that we lose contact and connection.
Yep.
With him, with others, and even with our true selves. Maybe there's a reason that we're starting this particular class that we're starting today, the gift of being yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the point. When we start losing that connection and that contact, that's the point at which we lose balance and perspective, when we lose peace and joy, when we lose the ability to be able to love and listen with a heart of compassion, when it's all about scoring points at that point.
Yeah.
And many of us are there. I was there yesterday, to be honest. Distracted by all the voices, thrown off balance, lost perspective a bit. And it was preparing this message that called me out of it.
Yeah.
So I could hear again the voice of God.
Yeah.
Speaking more loudly than all of that.
Yeah.
The Hebrew word used in this verse is fascinating. Sapha means literally a voice. It also means speech. That makes sense. But it also means lip. Isn't that awesome? The organ of the body from which our voice and speech emerge. That makes sense.
Yeah.
It could even refer to receiving a kiss, which you do on the lips, right? Okay, that works. But there's even more. This is a fascinating word. It also means a riverbank or a seashore. Huh? Because that's where people kiss. No, that wasn't it. Because the root word means edge.
Yes.
The Hebrews are great at metaphor, and they understand that the place where water meets land is an edge, an in-between space, just like our voice. Our speech is one of the ways that we meet with each other.
Yes.
Just like a kiss is where the two edges come together. The voice and the speech fills the space between us.
Yes.
Otherwise, we're entirely alone or isolated. It is our words as a communication that helps do that, connect us to each other.
Yeah.
And this is exactly like God does. God does this too. There's a reason that the Bible puts so much emphasis on the voice of God. It's there in Genesis 1. God spoke the universe into existence. It's there in John 1, where Jesus is called the Word, the voice of God. It's there in Acts 2, when the Spirit of God came to dwell with God's people for the first time, and they spoke in languages not their own, while those around heard them speak in truth in languages of their own.
Yeah, the miracle of speaking and listening.
Yeah, it was fascinating. In Acts 17, Paul told even those who did not know God that the space between all humans had already been filled by the Spirit of God.
Yep.
God is present for all and with all, and all means all. So that blessing this morning that we were singing, God is for you, God is with you, that was for all of us and all of them.
Yes.
So yes. Wonderful. God has been speaking to all. And yes. In his speaking, it's not just one way, non-directional. God has opened himself up to us. His speaking is revelatory. He reveals his true self to us. He becomes vulnerable with us. So hearing God, listening to God, is not just a matter of, as some people have interpreted, receiving instructions from God. Or learning doctrine. I need to hear from God so I know what it is they've got to believe and do. It's ultimately about knowing God.
Yes.
Personally. Intimately. We listen best in relationship, don't we? It's hard to understand what somebody means if we don't know anything about them. In relationship, we listen best. And so we listen in relationship to hear God, to hear God's heart, God's aches, God's passions, God's love for us.
Yes.
And, yes, his love for all of those with whom we are sharing our own voices. We listen to know God, and to know him is to love him. And then, yes, if we speak into that sacred space between ourselves and other people, we should do so very carefully.
Yes.
In alignment with what God has already shown us of his own heart. That what flows out of us into that space, into that edge, into that in-between space, flows out of God's love.
Yeah.
The God that we have come to know. So let's pause for another moment and reflect on that. Let's listen.
Yeah.
Here are some other questions for you. Where are you hearing the voice of God in the din of this world? And all the other noise and clamor and all the other voices out there, where are you hearing his? How do you recognize it when you do? How might you be silent to hear it again and know God even more fully than before? And how is God perhaps inviting you to become intimate more intimate in your relationship with him.
Yeah.
Let us listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Amen. The third invitation in Psalm 81 is to listen and remember. It's interesting how immediately after, Asaph hears a voice, an unknown voice. And he must have responded to that invitation to listen, to recognize the voice of God, because that's what we hear next. We hear God speaking directly to his people in verses 6 through 10. He says, I relieved your shoulder of the burden. Your hands were freed from the basket. In distress you called, and I rescued you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah, Selah. Selah, I know we sing a song called Selah here. Selah, Hebrew word, means to pause, to take in and consider what you just heard. What did we just hear? We just heard God saying, listen and remember who I am. I'm the one who heard your cries from bondage in Egypt. I'm the one who took the weight of your oppression from off your shoulders. I'm the one who freed your hands from carrying heavy baskets of clay to make bricks so you could reach them out to me so that they could be filled with good things. I'm the one who listened to your cries. I'm the one who responded to you in love. I'm the one who led you through the wilderness to meet me face to face at the top of thundering Sinai. But you wouldn't come to me. I tested you at Meribah when you were thirsty and doubted. You doubted that after all that I'd already given you, you doubted that I would provide the water you needed then. But I caused the water to flow from the rocks for you anyway. Stop for a moment and consider, God is saying, just pause. Consider, how could you ever forget me? How could you ever doubt my love for you? And then God continues in verse 8. He says, hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me, if you would just listen to me, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. Listen, are we listening this morning? Are we hearing the brokenhearted cries of God imploring all of his people, every one of us, regardless of where we stand in the entire spectrum of what it means to be the church today? Do we hear heartfelt cries from God imploring every one of us to remember him, to remember the God who loved us so much that he came to meet us face to face in Jesus, so we would always remember who he really is, always remember his great compassion and mercy, always remember his deep care and his generous provision for us and his faithful love, which has never faltered, never failed, ever. Have we, like the Israelites, chosen to follow other gods because we doubt God's goodness, even after all we've experienced with him? Have we decided, like Moses and the people at Meribah, to force God's hand by taking things into our own hands because we don't trust God to do what we want God to do? See, is this our Meribah moment, church? Is this a moment when we would rather blame and accuse each other and tear our community apart to get what we want, rather than remembering and trusting that God is somehow making a way for us together through this wilderness, even if we can't clearly see it yet? Can we remember the God who makes the way when there seems to be no way? See, and then God goes on. Just to be sure we're listening, God makes it very clear in verse 10. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouths wide, and I will fill it. Oh my gosh, I love that line. He's not angry. He's heartbroken, and he's saying, just open your mouths wide. Trust me. I'm going to fill. I'm going to fill you. In other words, he's saying, please stop acting as if you were God. Stop spewing hatred and anger and blame and shame out of your mouths. Instead, be like baby birds, waiting in your nests like baby birds wait in the safety of the nest for their parents to bring them what they need for life. It's as if God is saying to us, be like that and open your mouth wide in faith. Wait in trust. Wait in trust, for the Lord will fill us with what we need for life. He will give us wisdom. He will fill us with goodness. He will fill us with courage. He will give us the words to say. He'll give us that and everything else that we need to sustain us through these extraordinarily challenging times that we're living in. But listen, we need to be willing and ready. Vulnerable, open to receive. So let's selah. Let's pause. Take another moment to listen and reflect and consider with God. What are you hearing? Listen for God's invitation and direction. Are there ways in which you now see that you've been doubting God's love and goodness without realizing it? What is it that you need from God? And is there anything keeping you from opening your mouth wide and trusting God to fill it? Let's take a moment to pause and listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
The fourth invitation in Asaph's psalm is to listen and repent. This is part of what we don't like to hear.
Yeah.
But there's goodness even in this invitation. Mm-hmm. We hear this one in verses 11 through 13, where God is still talking, and he says, my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
Yeah.
People of Israel needed to repent because they had chosen against the God who had rescued them from slavery and had given them everything that their heart had desired. It's interesting, they've been cautioned about this very thing. In the very same passage in which they first heard the Shema, back when they were still wandering in the wilderness, Moses had told them, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to give you, a land with fine large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of goods that you did not fill, mm-hmm. cisterns that you did not hew, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. And when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord.
Yes.
Take care that you do not forget the Lord and all the goodness and that you're enjoying in this life. But of course, we know that they did. Despite all the gifts, all the unearned blessings, they forgot him. Now, let's be clear here, because it's easy to pick on the people of Israel. It's not that they wanted to be evil.
Right.
Neither do we, right? Mm-mm. What I hear in the tumult out there of our own day is most people, and yes, there are some vivid exceptions, but most people are wanting to be good. They want our nation to be good. They want the world to be good. But they disagree vigorously on what good is and how to get there.
Yep.
And so, as Joanne has noticed, sometimes in their passion, they sometimes say and do things that harm others and sometimes harm the very values they claim to honor. There was nothing new under the sun.
Yep.
Throughout history, people have done some very un-Jesus-y things to other people in the name of Jesus.
Yep.
And each time they do, they bring disgrace upon the very one that they worship with their lips. The problem is that in the messiness of this broken, polarized world, in the fever of our passions and convictions, and yes, even in the grip of our addictions and idolatries, we can, like the Israelites, forget the values and priorities of God who has brought us here.
Yeah.
We can do it too. And we do. We might quit listening to his voice among the din of the world and the distractions in our head and the despair in our heart. We get caught up in all the drama going on around us, and we forget both who he is and who we are in him.
Yep.
And we saw the effects of that drama this week on the political stage, and we're disturbed by what we saw. All of us, right?
Yep.
One way or another. Different lenses, different perspectives, different values perhaps, but everybody disturbed.
Yes.
And then we saw something that for the church purposes is even more disturbing. Saw some of God's people lashing out at brothers and sisters in Christ. Harshly judging those who see differently than themselves. Doing what Jesus warned us against. Pointing out the sawdust in the eyes of others while ignoring a plank in their own eye. I know this is hard stuff.
Yeah.
And if the shoe doesn't fit, don't wear it.
Right.
But if it makes you feel any better, I had to preach it to myself this week. Again, this is all honesty. Hardly anything we get up here and preach, we don't have to live out at some point. It is real easy for me at times to get on my high horse and denounce all the crazy-making idiots out there. Unaware of the fact that, sad to say, sometimes I am the idiot. And then when I listen, God shows me that. Or one of God's good people. So God's invitation given to all of us is all of us, is to repent.
Yep.
To not, this distinction really matters, to not merely call others to repent, as so many are doing.
Yep.
But to hearken to God's voice ourselves.
Yes,
there are lots of people out there who may need to repent. There's plenty of that to go around right now.
Yes.
But our primary responsibility is to align our own souls with the voice of God.
Yeah.
I said there was some good news in this. There is. And when we do, when we hear this invitation for God, it's not because God wants to punish or shame us. You hear it in the tone that he was using with Israel. Humans do that. Humans punish. Humans shame. Humans are jumping on one another and pummeling each other. Instead, what God does is acknowledge that our choices have painful consequences. Pain that he would love to see us avoid.
Yep.
Pain he wants to save us from. And when we hear his voice calling us to repentance, we hear in it the deep sorrow of a God who never stops loving. A God who wants to remain in relationship with us, who wants to heal us, not harm us. And then, yes, wants us to offer the same to each other and to everyone else. He's so serious about this that the Almighty God of the universe humbles himself to plead with us to stop, turn around, that's what repentance means, and embrace him and each other, metaphorically in the era of pandemic.
Yeah.
And when we do, he forgets. Yeah. He forgets our trespasses. It's interesting, isn't it? Do you hear the themes coming in this? God wants us to remember, but he's willing to forget.
I know.
Why? Because what he wants us to remember is his love, and what he's willing to forget is when we screw it up.
Yep.
He wants to remember us to remember his goodness, but he forgets our forgetfulness.
Yeah.
And it's all because of love.
And oh, if only we would.
If only
we would do the same.
Yeah.
For each other.
So let's listen and reflect once again.
Yeah.
Questions are hard.
Yeah.
Own them if they belong to you. If they don't, it's okay. Mm-hmm. How have you forgotten God? Or your neighbor? Mm-hmm. And what might God be inviting you to repent of today?
Yeah.
Let's listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one.
Yeah. The Lord our God is indeed one, and so are his people. So unity was a central theme of the Festival of Tabernacles, which, as we've heard, Psalm 81 was written for. And unity was symbolized on each of the 7 days of the festival by holding together in their hands 4 different kinds of plants. The plants were representing all of the different tribes and people of God being held together as one, and then blessing. Blessing was pronounced over them, the blessing of unity. See, we Christians celebrate God's oneness as expressed through the 3-in-1 community of love, that is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in Christ, we are one body. Though we're different, all are needed. All belong. All are blessed in our unity. No part of our physical bodies is unimportant, right? Can you think of a part of your body right now that you want to separate from the rest of you? No, and if you think about it, no part of the human body can be separated from the whole without some level of pain. Sometimes death. See, the same is true of the body of Christ. We are one spiritually, whether we like it or not. And when we tear each other apart, when we cut each other off, when we separate ourselves from those who are different from us, we threaten the entire community, including ourselves, and we continue to break the heart of God. It's interesting that water and light were also part of the Feast of Tabernacles. The priests would carry torches every day around the temple walls to show that the Messiah would be a light to the Gentiles, those who were different from them. Then they draw water and they pour it into a basin on the altar as a prayer for the Holy Spirit to be poured out, as Joel had prophesied, what? On all flesh. It's interesting because Jesus celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And on the last great day of the feast, he said this, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me," anyone. "And let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And then the next morning, while the torches were still burning in the priest's hands, Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The fulfillment of the festival that they were celebrating, looking back and celebrating who God was and what God had done for them in the past, and they've been celebrating and celebrating and celebrating. And here in this moment, the fulfillment is there, right there, among them and with them and speaking truth to them, inviting them to listen and live. See, that is the final, you know, closing, the culmination invitation of Psalm 81. He's right here. He was right there. He's still right here among us, still crying out, "Anyone, everyone, listen to me. Follow me and find light to illuminate your darkness. Find living water flowing from your innermost being. Just as God made life-giving water flow from the rock at Meribah." Listen, no force is needed. We don't have to, like Moses, strike the rock with a stick. We don't have to. No, God doesn't beat the water out of us. And we don't have to be good enough to deserve light. It's God's goodness alone that provides it for us, because that is who God is. And when we listen to his voice and follow in his way, he becomes our life. His light and his life flow into and out from us, which is exactly this last invitation in Psalm 81. God says, "If only you would listen to me, I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would satisfy you." So, you know, it may feel like we're dying between a rock and a hard place in these very hard, very scary times. But listen, the Hebrew word there, honey from the rock, the Hebrew word for the rock the honey will flow from, means place of security and safety. God is our rock. If we'll only listen to him, we'll hear again God's promise to be faithful to us no matter what, to never leave us or forsake us no matter what. If we'll only listen to the God who is worthy of our worship and of our trust, we'll see the desert bloom. Our lives will flow with milk and honey. We will have life, and that life more abundantly. So, church, let's open our mouths wide and be satisfied in him and him alone. Let's do out there every day what we've been doing here this morning. Let's pause and let's listen to God before we say anything to anyone else. Did you catch that? Stop, pause, listen to what God is saying before you say anything to anybody else, in person or on social media. Amen? It must be that when we do speak, we are speaking words of life-giving light and truth. In our journey through this current desert, let's acknowledge our thirst. We're thirsty. We are. Let's acknowledge our thirst and then look clearly at every rock and hard place we encounter. And then turn to the rock who's higher than all. And let's ask God to show us the honey that he wants to bring forth from every rock. And then let's open our mouths wide to be filled again and again with God's satisfying, never-failing goodness, care, and love. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to close this morning by listening again to the heart cry of God to us all in a really beautiful closing prayer. And Tony and I will go back and forth, and you listen. This is God's voice again. Come, let me feed you
with honey from the rock.
Come, let me love you
and never, never stop.
Hear the Lord. He's calling you. Listen to his voice.
People, oh my people.
Don't you know I carried you?
Remember how I rescued you.
You were trapped in slavery.
Until I came and set you free.
But now your lives are crowded.
There's little space for me.
I long to bless you every day.
And fill you with good things.
But I need room to be your God.
You can't have lots of others.
I'm not a bonus add-on. Turn to me, my people.
Let me in and let me lead.
Come, let me feed you.
With honey from the rock.
Come, let me love you.
And never, never stop.
Amen.
Amen.
Selah. Selah.